may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. The song we just sang really been a very lovely one to me, and it makes me remember many years ago when Feva and I were working in the same environment, but not in the same institution. I was then in the office of the General Assembly of my previous church in Nigeria, and Feva was assistant head teacher in the secondary school, so we shared the same compound. And we had always gone to school, or gone to work at the same time. But I really enjoyed not just going, you know, so early to the office, but the fact that during the morning devotion of the school, for some days they would sing "Holy, Holy, Holy," and I would sit somewhere in my office, and I'll be listening to the song from young people, and it was always great, and it was always a very brilliant way to begin the day, listening to them sing that song, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty." But that's not the sermon for today. Branding matters. Image is said to be everything. Makeover. These are popular concepts that ring true, not just for individuals, but also for institutions. We are often made to believe that the way we present ourselves has profound impact on our career and on who we are. And it is not just our body language or how we dress that really matters here. The internet offers individuals and institutions with countless new ways to present their brand. Again, it could also completely ruin who they are. Social networks, and many of them, they are just countless, YouTube, blogs, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and other online tools help us project things, including ourselves, into the wider world. And it's interesting to see how information, you know, the instant way that information travels, that once you tweet, millions of people out there instantly read about it. Or you post something on Facebook, and instantly thousands of people across the world get to know about it. And often Facebook will ask you what is on your mind. And you just have to tell it what is on your mind. And once you say what is on your mind, it travels very fast. And so these are ways that people use to present themselves. And sometimes potential employers tend to look at our Facebook page to see what we are up to. They often use it to judge our cover to see if we are truly right. So these are ways through which people package themselves, institutions and individuals. And again, we also use these processes to receive affirmation. And so image is considered to be everything, and as such, people go to a great length to project certain things, certain images of themselves to those around them. I spoke with Favor about a particular product I came across this week, and I'm sure many of you know about this product, which took our idea of image making in a direction we never expected. The product is called Spray on Mud. You know about that? Spray on Mud. You can Google it, although Amazon says they don't know when the product is going to come back, but they have it on Amazon. Amazon.uk. Spray on Mud. It is considered to be an ultimate accessory for the 4x4 driving city dwellers. So the idea is that why would you have 4x4 and It is just always looking clean. And so to create an image that you've been traveling in the farms, visiting people, so you get this spray on mud and spray on it. And once you do that, it looks like natural mud. So when people see it, they'll say, oh, you've been working so hard. And you say, yeah, I've been really working hard, even though you've been in a pub, you know, sipping some pints and all that. So that it doesn't look like you are not maximizing the 4x4-wheel drive. You are using it effectively. So spray on the mud is recommended. Not just for 4x4, but for any kind of car, in case you want to present an image that you've been working so hard, you've been traveling around in farms and visiting people. For us, it challenged our understanding of image and what people can do to create image for people around them. Again, it is used by people to show that they've been on shooting, fishing, and visiting friends, of course, who live in farms, rather than showing that image that they've been on the queue and maybe going to Tesco that is not in the farm. So that way, people, they create an impression about themselves and about the car they also have. Like many people, we are often caught up doing strange things to make the outside of our lives project a certain image, even though the reality is something much different. This morning, we are studying the sixth beatitude, the sixth attitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus offered the beatitudes to remind us that God is not primarily focused on our outward performances, but with what is on the inside. As humans, we are always drawn to the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The heart is the center of every human activity. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19, it says, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. So who we are is not really a function of our facial physiognomy, but it has to do with our heart. And in Macbeth, a book I read many years ago during my secondary school days, Malcolm said to Macbeth that there is no act to read the mind's conscription on the face. You know, so the heart is usually where God looks at when he looks at us. He wants to see the intention, the motive behind our actions. But as people, we are often drawn to the actions. The heart is what we are in the secrecy of our thoughts and feelings, when nobody knows but God. So pure means to cleanse one's mind and emotions. A person with a passion for purity is one who has been cleansed in his thoughts or her character, so that the way he or she looks in public is the same way he or she is in private. And that's the balance for purity. It means we are just like Jesus, even when no one is watching us, so that when we are faced with decision making, we'll act or we'll seek to act like Jesus. The whole idea of what will Jesus do, which was a popular dictum some years ago. Our reading from Psalm 51 pays attention to guilt and forgiveness. Although some scholars doubt David's authorship of this psalm, it relates to an incident in David's life. The story behind the psalm is told in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and using his authority as a king, he had sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to the front line of the battle where he was killed. Then he had taken Bathsheba as his wife. And after a while, they had a son, but the child died shortly after he was born. When Prophet Nathan confronted David with his crime, then in tears, David confessed, and you can read, "God, have mercy upon me, have mercy upon me." So he cried out to God. Although this is the traditional setting for Psalm 51, it speaks to all of us. It is not something that is remote from our own daily experiences. The psalm opens with a plea for God to have mercy, to forgive and to cleanse. The psalmist does not claim any special status or any moral worth. He rather casts himself upon the love and mercy of God. The psalmist ends with these words: "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Verse 10 to 12. And before I conclude, today again, I'm tempted to sing these last two verses. "Create in me a pure heart." I'll sing it from King James Version. And I hope I have the voice to sing today. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and renew a right spirit within me." Confession and repentance opens the door to the presence of God's amazing grace. Grace that is extravagant, grace that is amazing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The cross of Jesus Christ provides us with God's forgiveness and restoration in a way that we cannot find anywhere else. And what God has done for us at the cross of Jesus Christ is to restore our broken relationship with him and to bring us back into fellowship with him and with one another. And so as we journey in this journey of faith that is often faced with many challenges, ups and downs, with temptations to create false images about ourselves, we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith. We should concentrate on knowing and obeying God's word and seeking daily to become just like Jesus in our public and in our private spaces. Amen.